Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me today. My website is www.jbsba.com. That's the acronym for Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate, or jimblasingame.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. We try to make it easy for you, whatever it takes to remember our site, which will take you to what we consider to be a little bit of small business heaven. And don't forget to check out all the different archives, all the different articles and the Brain Trust members and all the resources. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes every week on Sunday by email. Karen Kerrigan, ladies and gentlemen, is one of my best friends in the whole world. She is one of the people I admire most in the whole world. She was one of the very first guests, a brave woman, too, because she was one of the very first guests on this show way back in 1997. She is the president and the founder and the CEO of the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. She's also the president of a newer organization, Women Entrepreneurs, Inc. But more importantly, she's my friend and your friend as well. If you're a small business owner, I promise you, Karen Kerrigan is your friend. Karen, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. Great to be here.
It's
always
good to
a
have
pleasure.
You back.
This is great.
Yeah,
this
it's good to
great.
Have you back. Karen, today is an important day in the history of women's rights. On this day, 1848, the Women's Rights Convention was convened in Seneca Falls, New York, by Lucretia Mott and Elizabeth Cady Stanton. I love those two names. And you can just imagine that those two ladies, you know, with names like that, they had to be
in the history books, right?
Exactly, exactly. And they got a bunch of women together. And now think about this, 1848. That's a long time ago. I didn't realize that this went back that far. I knew it went back to, like, you know, 1870s or 80s, but I didn't realize it went back more than 150 years. And the issues were voting for women, property rights for women, and divorce. But Karen, here's the news that I sure didn't know. In that convention, somebody introduced bloomers. How about that?
I tell you, I'm so glad, Jim, that you're around to remind us of all this.
You can't get this information anywhere else. You got to listen to this show to get this kind of stuff. This is important, isn't it?
It really is. You know, it is. You know, look at it. I think it is important that we sort of look back at the past and know where we are going in the future. And when you sort of, you know, go over, you know, the issues with respect to women and the right to vote and property rights and, you know, divorce and, you know, all those other things, I'm just, you know, it's amazing how many women in the world still don't have those basic rights.
You know,
and you know, particularly in the 21st century, it's just amazing to me. And every time I travel overseas, particularly in the Mideast, and then I come back to the United States, it's just a reminder of still how far some countries have to go with respect to those basic human rights.
Exactly, and you know, Karen. A few months ago, I heard Maya Angelou speak, and she talked about whenever people compliment her on what she's accomplished, she says she tries to think about the people who went before her, her grandparents, her, you know, all the way back generations. Mm-hmm. And she said, those people paid for me already. She said, I haven't done all that much. She said, those are the people who paid for me to be here. And I would think that these ladies who came together in this convention in 1848, what was that, about 60 years before women were given the right to vote, mm-hmm. they paid for a lot of the progress that had been made for women, didn't they?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know,
because imagine a meeting like that. I mean, they couldn't have realized that it was going to take 60 years to get to vote.
Oh, no, absolutely. And when you read it, the history of the women's and the suffrage movement, you know, how much these women were, you know, scorned. I mean, they were jailed. Mm-hmm. They were ridiculed. You know, they really put up with, personally, they gave up so much so that women in the future can, you know, have these basic rights. I mean, rights that we take for granted right now. So, and when you think about many people, you know, women and men in history, I mean, even in our current time period, just who are fighting to protect our country and protect our freedoms in the current period, it never ends. I mean, there's always
plenty of heroes,
individuals that we have to be grateful for.
Yeah.
And in our day-to-day, you know, what we do in our day-to-day lives, we just simply take for granted.
People with the courage to do what they do, people with the dedication to willing to put themselves beneath, to subordinate themselves to a greater cause, no question about it. Karen, stand by. We're going to come back in a few minutes and talk to Karen about some things she's doing not only in the United States, but around the world on behalf of small business owners and women. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a great visit with our good friend Karen Kerrigan, the president of Women Entrepreneurs, Inc. and Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. Karen, give us your websites, please.
Sure. The Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council is SBECouncil.org, SBECouncil.org. And Women Entrepreneurs, Inc. is we-inc.org.
We-inc.org. All right. So check that out. Check both of those out, especially if you're a lady and you're interested in how what women are up to out there in the marketplace. You can find out, especially with this is all with regarding public policy. That's your forte, isn't it, Karen? Making sure that
the public
policy debate includes the small business interests and women in business interests.
Right. I mean, particularly with the SBE Council, with Women Entrepreneurs, Inc., we also have a lot of good advisors, a growth advisor, tax advisor, ethics advisor, women who volunteer their time to provide advice to other women entrepreneurs. So We Inc. is definitely a community of women business owners and leaders helping other women. And so we do a little bit of both with that organization.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about, talk for just a minute about how you feel that women have what they've accomplished in the United States in terms of small business ownership. What's your perspective on that?
Oh, it's been extraordinary. There are over 10 million women business owners who own at least 50% or more of a business. There are over 6 million who are majority own women business owners.
And these are not women who are clipping their coupons. They're out there, they're mixing it up.
They're
making decisions and running these companies, aren't they?
They are. I mean,
they're founding the companies.
They're founding the companies. They're finding niches. They're competing against some of the big guys. They are now in, traditional, male industries and telecommunications, construction, transportation.
I've had a number of interviews, Karen, over the last few years with women who are in absolutely male-dominated, traditionally male-dominated industries, like you were saying, construction.
Mm-hmm.
One lady was in the road-building industry.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you wake up one day and say, I'm going to go roll some roads, when you talk to a lot of these women, they'll tell you that there has been, there was an influence from a family member, or they saw a niche and they went after it and, pieced some of those things together. But, I mean, really, women are doing extraordinarily well. I mean, generating over $2.5 trillion in revenues, in high growth enterprises. They're starting businesses at 1.5 times the rate of all business owners.
Karen,
yes.
Let me interrupt you for a second. The lady who is the person who is the Small Business Person of the Year for the United States in 2005 is a lady, and
yeah.
She has an oil remediation company. She cleans up. She cleans up Superfund sites and things
right.
like that.
Right. Go figure. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, that's just great news, and these are women that are role models for younger women who who never even considered business ownership. I know certainly, you know, growing up, when people talk to me about careers and what I would potentially do going through the education system, business ownership just was not one of those things, you know. It just wasn't one of those options. So more and more, I mean, these are women now that are role models for other women who are saying, look at business ownership, being an entrepreneur is an option for you. So you have that whole cultural change as well going on in the country, indeed, you know, throughout the world. I think
that's what I'd like for you to speak to now, because we're seeing this around the world. How many millions of women have been liberated in Iraq and Afghanistan in the last 3 years?
Millions. Yeah, absolutely.
And they're demanding their place in society. And you've actually been traveling to some of these places, haven't you?
I have, and it's extremely exciting. My last trip was in May in Tunis, Tunisia, which is North Africa, where we co-hosted the MENA, the Mideast North Africa Women Business Summit, which for the first time brought together women business owners and leaders from every country in the Mideast and North Africa, where we came together as a group, and we went over some business building skills, but we talked about what we can do, and particularly these women can do as women leaders, to enact change and to help other women in their countries. There's great disparity in the Mideast and North Africa with respect to where women stand in society. Some countries they can vote, others they can't. Some countries they can own property, others they can't. In some countries, you know, they have to, you know, get permission from their husband to travel in
to
a car within the country, let alone leave the country and go to this summit.
Yeah.
So it's extraordinary, again, when you think about, you know, where women's place in the U.S. versus where, you know, where they are in these countries. But, you know, change is underfoot region of the world.
Are you finding that American women are feeling compelled, like as you are, to reach out to their sisters across the water in other parts of the world to try to help them develop these kinds of rights?
Absolutely. You know, the women business owners and leaders in general, I mean, one of their driving, you know, one of the things they always want to do is give back. You know, once they've reached success or they're going for success, how can I give back? And they certainly do feel compelled to help their sisters overseas have the same opportunities that they've had.
The women that I interview on this show, the women business owners, are exactly that way. That's one thing that I've noticed about them. Stand by, Karen. When we come back, we're going to talk about some public policy issues that Karen is working on here in the United States on behalf of women and actually on behalf of small business owners. Now it is 10 till. Stay with us.
Well, I was rolling down the road in some cold blue.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Karen Kerrigan is our guest and an original member of our Brain Trust and an original member of this show. I'm the only person on the show, other than maybe one or two other people, who's been part of this show longer than Karen has. And Karen, for all you've done for us over the years and for all you do for small business, we thank you.
Oh, thank you. You know, life wouldn't be the same if I didn't do the Jim Blassingame show multiple times during the year,
I can see that. Hey,
yeah.
Karen, talk to us about some of the public policy issues you're working on for small businesses.
Sure. You know, two of the things that, you know, we're focusing on before Congress breaks in the Senate, there will be a vote on death tax repeal. And what we're trying to do is to make sure that there's no compromise that keeps the death tax intact. So we think that the Senate should vote on full permanent repeal, period. There should be none of this, you know, none of these exemptions and, you know,
but Karen,
lower
that,
rates.
Shouldn't we try to take what's offered? I mean, I don't want to wimp out on this either, but shouldn't we take what we've got an opportunity to get and move on to something else?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have an opportunity to get full death tax repeal. I think if it's put on the Senate floor, and if Republicans, you know, stop, you know, playing with their second option, or, you know, I think we have critical mass to vote for full repeal, because a lot of these senators, Democrats, have voted for full repeal in the past. So I don't know why we're negotiating with ourselves.
When do we? That's what Republicans do. I still say Republicans don't have the stomach for the blood sport that politics has become.
Well, you know, most people think the death tax is unfair. It's inequitable. It should be repealed.
Right.
You know, why should we keep a tax that's around that's in the Marxist, you know, platform, you know, which is, I mean, this is America, right?
So when do you think this could happen?
At the end of the month.
At the end
of this month. So we're pushing for that. And, you know, we have a death tax repeal petition on our website, sbecouncil.org. We're
pushing
for
there and can we sign? I hope you'll join SBE Council, ladies and gentlemen, and support what they do. But even if they're not a member, can they still sign up?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Go to the death tax, full permanent death tax repeal petition, sign it. We'll get it up to the Senate for you. So we're doing a big push on that front. Secondly, you know, I think I've been on the show, Jim, to talk about the Health Care Choice Act.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
By Chadig of Arizona, that would allow people to buy insurance anywhere in the United States. They could buy it from any state
of
the
union. So this is different from HSAs.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I mean, it would just, if you're, you know, in Alabama, you could buy insurance in Iowa. You know,
yeah.
it would just open up the market and allow people to escape some of their expensive state mandates, which really are driving up the cost of health coverage in this
mm-hmm.
country. So,
is that going to put state insurance commissioners out of work?
It might, but we're not saying you still can't regulate health insurance. We're just saying allow consumers to escape your state borders if they can't afford it. And essentially, that will be voted on in the Energy and Commerce Committee this week, and we expect a full House vote on that.
House.
Yep, before Congress convenes.
But now, this is not likely to get through the Senate, though, is it? Because the Senate's killed HSAs about 8 times in a row.
Well, but we got HSAs through, remember, permanent.
I'm sorry, AHPs I meant. I'm sorry, Association of Health is what I meant to say.
Yeah, they have, but AHPs and healthcare choice are two different things. I mean, you know, you do have the insurance industry is really behind, the big insurance people behind killing AHPs.
Right.
With respect to healthcare choice, you know, they could still operate in their market, although they still have a monopoly mm-hmm. at the state level. It's sort of like HSAs. They were my big enemy when I was trying to pass through HSAs.
Right.
But look at who's selling HSAs now? The big insurance companies, right? They survived.
Exactly.
So,
and they'll survive AHPs, too, which is something we sorely need.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, it's not going to be easy over on the Senate side, Jim.
Right.
But this is amazing speed. I mean, John Chadwick only introduced this bill last summer. And it's already going to go through the House. I mean, this basically compresses the schedule that we were on with HSAs, which took us 10 years, you know, if you'll recall. So we are on amazing speed with Health Care Choice Act. It's been introduced in the House, I mean, in the Senate by Jim DeMint.
Mm-hmm.
And we're picking up co-sponsors on that end. But, you know, we're not fooling ourselves. It's going to take some effort to get it through the Senate side. But the good news is it's going to pass one body, which is the House of Representatives, which is great news. Yes.
Well, absolutely. And well done on your part, Karen, you and a bunch of other folks that have worked hard on all these issues. These are all things that are very important to small business owners. Karen, again, thank you for all that you do.
Oh, Jim, my pleasure. Thank you.
And we'll see you next time.
You bet.
Karen Carrier, ladies and gentlemen, with the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. That's sbecouncil.org. And also Women Entrepreneurs, Inc. That's we-inc.org as well. Check both of those out. Especially, ladies, check that We Inc. site out. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.